Welcome to Questcast. This is Kieran, and I'm with Caitlin, and we're going to take you on an adventure through the last week in games. So this week, a lot of things happened. ParadoxCon mostly, some Kingdom Hearts news, Valve taking out some games for some controversial reasons. Is there anything that caught your eye that you'd want to talk about, Caitlin?
I don't know. Just start at the beginning.
The beginning. So, first of all, Kingdom Hearts 3 released some Titanfall boss battle footage. And it looked alright. I think it was from the Hercules universe, and it was Cloud running up some walls. It looked very... is it quick time events, they call them?
Yeah. Although, not actual quick time events.
Yeah, it was weird. I think it's... Do you reckon it's going to be easier than the older games? I never played the older games, by the way, but apparently some people found...
I played a little bit of it, but I don't know if they were hard.
I think, like, they got hard. Like, there was, like...
Well, then potentially I never got to that part.
Yeah, I think, like, people would say, oh, you get to this planet, or... Because there was planets, wasn't there? Like, there was, like, the...
Hercules. Universes.
Yeah, whatever they called it.
Yeah.
And some parts were harder than others.
Pretty sure there was doors or something that you went through.
Yeah,
to
I don't
different
know.
Universes.
Always probably something I would have loved, but it was never on a platform that I owned at the time.
Yeah, I think you would have loved it.
Because it seems like something I would have. That being said, hate a lot of the Disney characters, but love the Square Enix characters. So I'm not sure. It also is going to have Wreck-It Ralph. There's probably some other new stuff. I think Toy Story was revealed today as well. What Disney characters would you want to see in Kingdom Hearts 3?
I don't know. Like new ones? Is that what you're getting at? Or
yeah, probably new ones.
I don't know, because I'm more of a classic Disney fan.
I think to make the game, because like Disney owns Pixar now, so they could put Shrek in it. That'd be hilarious. They would never do that.
But. It wouldn't feel the same to me.
Yeah, I get that, but I'd still find it funny.
I mean, they're probably like, it's gonna happen, but I don't know.
That's fair. I thought it would be funny.
Is Frozen Disney?
Oh, yes.
Frozen. So Frozen's almost 100% in there.
Oh, I didn't even think about there is the there is going to be the Frozen universe planet, whatever the hell it's going to be.
Yeah.
That's a thing. That's when, oh my, I need to play this. I'm playing it. It's happening. Thank you for helping me with that. Well, actually, there's a lot of game, franchises that have come out since then, like Brave, Tangled.
Mm-hmm.
Help me out. What are some of the others?
Moana?
Would they put that in there? Yes.
It's pretty big.
It's pretty big, but it doesn't feel like it would suit. Maybe.
Actually,
it would.
I think it would.
Maybe. Almost, I liked the movie a lot.
Yeah. Almost more than
Frozen.
Frozen. But anyway.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Just playing around with Olaf. That'd be great. And he'd be one of those NPCs that you just hate. Like, he's just like, look at this! And I'm like, no, I want to go over here. No, just do what I want. Because there's going to be a lot of that. Because games.
Mm.
The only one that I've ever seen that people aren't annoyed with is Dad of Boy Boy. Apparently that AI pretty good.
Yeah, that AI is really good.
Which is surprising. And apparently it's even helpful, which...
Yes.
Wow. But that's enough of Kingdom Hearts 3. ParadoxCon. So they announced Age of Wonders, a new game, not a DLC. Imperator? I don't know how to pronounce that word. Imperator Rome. Crusader Kings 2 DLC, Holy Fury. Paradox introduces board games, which I'm actually really, really keen about. Europa Universalis 4 Dharma. That actually was hard to say.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
that I always just want to say Europa Universe, and then I'm like, it's not that. It's Universalis. But like I've already committed to it in my mind. So I'm like, slow down on the word and we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I always want to say Europe as well. They just fucked you around with both words.
Yeah, I don't know who came up with those words, but.
Well, I was watching the stream of it. And when they announced it, they were like, well, actually they were announcing the board games and like, this one's like really dear to our hearts because Europa Universalis, God damn it. Yeah. Europa Universalis was a board game that we adapted to a PC game that we're adapting to a board game. So next year we'll adapt it back to a PC game.
Jesus.
I just think it's funny.
Yeah.
Because like obviously board games were a big thing in the 80s. Then PC or like gaming or video games was a big thing. So everyone made that. But now that like tabletops are a really big thing again or like becoming a big thing.
It's going back.
They're just like, all right, we'll make it back into a board game.
You could just keep the board game the way that it is.
I don't think there's been any like reiterations of the board game. So like there's a lot of design elements that are probably changed in board games from 20 years ago. Like games aren't like Monopoly anymore.
Because
that would suck. And why does the design of Monopoly suck?
I don't know.
So a lot of games back then didn't, like, even if you knew you had lost in, like, modern games now, they don't kick you out of play. You can still do something to, like, make who you want to win kind of thing. So if someone took you out and they're way ahead, you're not out of the game. Like, you know you can't win, but you can do something to make it harder for them to win and someone else can win. Whereas things like Monopoly, you get, once you've lost, three of your friends could be playing for 3 hours while you are doing nothing. And that's horrible game design. What?
I don't know. To each their own.
Well, as like designing a game for four people to play together, do you not think that that's not the best design?
I don't know. Process of elimination. I don't see anything wrong with that.
It's good in a short game, but like for lengthy games, it's horrible. Because like, if you were that person, okay, maybe not you, because you would probably be like, I'll go read a book or something.
Yeah, but no, then you sit with your friends still and watch them play.
Oh, I would be social so with them. Bored.
Why would you? You'd be talking to everyone.
But I'd rather be sitting there playing and talking to everyone, not sitting on the sidelines being like, cool.
Well, not really, because like, the amount of stuff like that you do in your turn is minimal. Like, you roll a dice, you move, you either buy houses or you don't. Like, it's not as if the action of playing the game is so compelling and, like, entertaining. Like, you're there to, like, be social with your friends. So whether you're in it or not, like, you're still seeing the game evolve and you're still seeing people play. And, like, you can still talk to people about what's happening and what their options are. Like, that's literally all you do when it's not your turn anyway. You're just missing out the part where you roll a dice.
Which is, I just don't like it. Like,
I know you don't like it, but I'm just saying, like, it wouldn't be
I think that's
any more or less boring than what you're already doing.
No, it definitely is.
Okay.
I get, like, we're obviously different people, yes. But, like, when people are engaged in an activity and then everyone else isn't, it's like, it's, I think it's, you are less involved with the social activity than everyone else is. And that's why I think it's bad design. And like, you don't see any games that way anymore, or very rarely do you.
Yeah. It's because we're in the generation of nobody can actually be officially a loser, because heaven forbid, like, children learn how to lose.
Yeah, that, oh my god, that's stupid. Oh, what did I see today? There was apparently some state, is it New South Wales or something? Oh, some state in Australia where we live is taking away all books from children, like taking away books in the library for children that weren't gender neutral or something. Like, I read the headline, I was like, god damn it. But
all right. Anyway,
what are your thoughts on that?
I don't have any.
I thought you'd be like all over that shit.
Nah, don't care. Like, that's stupid. Whatever. Move on.
It's very stupid. So Age of Wonders Planetfall is... Have you played Age of Wonders?
Nope.
Have you seen Age of Wonders?
Nope.
Oh, Planet... Well, Age of Wonders was a fantasy mythological one with dragons and that kind of stuff. Planetfall is, I think, the same engine, better graphics because it's a few years later, but sci-fi, and it looks really good. It's the same turn-based kind of Heroes of Might and Magic style game where you build kingdoms, try and take everyone over. 4X Empire Building, I think, is the thing. The genre, they call it. It's made by Triumph Studios, who made the first one. I think they tried something else, and that failed. I can't remember what it was, and I might be thinking of someone else. But I'm hoping this game will be really good. You don't like sci-fi games that as much as fantasy, do you?
No. I mean, yes and no.
Depends on the game, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I think for RTSs, I've always liked sci-fi more, but for RPGs and stuff, fantasy all the way, which is strange. I think it's easier to comprehend, or like it's easier to make better RTS experiences, maybe, because I didn't like Age of Empires that much, loved StarCraft, Command and Conquer's amazing, and then there hasn't been really much since. That's been amazing.
Right.
Because I don't know if I was talking to you about this, but I saw a thing about why RTSs aren't as popular as they used to be. And it's because the gratification of playing is a lot later than other game designs. And it's hard to update or make an RTS have that instant gratification of playing.
Right.
Because you have to build up everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you think on that.
Well, that seems to check out.
Do you experience that when playing RTSs? I don't. What was the last RTS you played?
I don't know. I can't remember. I guess I'm not really that interested in them.
That's fair. They are. So, yeah, I think they're not as big of a genre as everything else is anyway, because it is harder for people to get into it. I guess it's like chess, like. It was a great game once, but like very few people were into it. Well, maybe once upon a time they were, because that was like the only game out. But yeah, Age of Wonders, Planetfall. I think you should check it out. It's going to be good. Next on the list of Paradox Con is Imperator Rome. So Paradox Development Studio returns to ancient history with Imperator Rome, a new title set around the growth of the Roman power in a threatening Mediterranean. Unify Italy and the world under the eagles of your legions. So I think it's going to be like a strategy game. Did you watch the trailer for it? It was very
I did.
Not
it
helpful.
Didn't say anything or show anything. Or...
Yeah, I don't think they showed anything from what I've watched. It's more of a they're bringing this out kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Paradox. It'll be good. It'll have lots of... stuff to do in the game. That's what you can count on from Paradox. There's lots of stuff to do, and like you can micromanage every little part of your damn game, which some people like and some people hate. I know from you playing Stellaris with me that it bores you after a while.
Because
yeah, for me, I could do that all day. I like that kind of control. I know some people don't, but
it's
a toll on the mind.
No, well, it just feels very, what's the word?
Busy?
Removed.
Removed? How do you mean removed?
Because, like, you're not anybody.
That.
You are, like, you create units that aren't anybody, like, and... colonize planets that aren't really, like, I don't know, it would be cool to have something like that, but where you are actually playing a leader.
Yes.
And
The Guild 2 reminds me of that, because you start off as one person and you could go marry someone, have kids, and when your person dies, you become one of the kids.
Yeah.
I really like that. I think that's kind of how Crusader Kings 2 works from memory. I haven't played it in a long time, but it's a turn-based like kingdom.
Yeah, but I'd want to like actually control the person and like be the person.
Yeah, so that's exactly what Guild 2 was like.
Wouldn't want like just reading.
Yeah. So Crusader Kings 2 is just a lot of heavy reading and mechanics. Guild 2, I think you should check it out. Guild 3 will come out soon. They released a early access build, which wasn't great, which probably hurt them in the long run, but oh well. Speaking of Crusader Kings 2, they're making a Crusader Kings board game, which I think will be so fun to play. It's currently on Kickstarter. I think once they announced it, they hit their goal in like an hour.
That's pretty cool.
It would be nice. They had a pretty low budget goal. It was 75,000 AUD, and they're at AU 230,000, which I'm not sure. I think it was in SEC. Yeah. What is SEC again? What country is that from?
What?
Do you not know what SEC is?
No.
SEC currency. Where's it from? Swedish. That's right. Swedish krona.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a cool sounding currency as far as currency goes. It's pretty cheap, actually. Well, cheap is a relative term in tabletop games, but it's you can get the base edition for under $100.
Okay.
Which I don't think I've seen a board game like that like a board game that cheap in a while, but I think that's because that's if you back it, you'll get it for that. When it comes out retail, it'll be ridiculously expensive.
I doubt it would be.
Because it comes with 70 miniatures. What was that? 70 miniatures, 5 game boards, because it's 3 to 5 players. There's 10 dynasties, so you get 10 dynasty boards. They're all different dynasties with some buffs and stuff, I think.
Mm.
So, yeah, for under $100, I was like, damn. So I'm pretty keen on kickstarting it because that's going to be like $200 when it's in the store.
Yeah.
Which you...
And have you kickstarted it?
Not yet, but I will. You've heard my spiel on tabletop things, how it's you want to take a chance on something, but you're like, oh, it's $150. And like, it's not something that you can return because you have to take out all the, it's very package purpose.
Yeah.
So you're just like, ah, oh, do I take the chance? No. So you just rely on what like other people have done or like said, or one of your friends are just like, oh, this game was great. So I'll get that.
Yeah.
So I was thinking if it's going to cost me under $100 for the base edition, I'll do it. I'll be less upset if it's bad.
What do you get with the other editions?
More pieces, but I think you don't. I think it's just more different pieces, nothing that you actually need to play the game.
Right.
I think they might be painted or something as well for the more expensive one. So for the Royal Edition, which is 799 SEC, which is like $93. So that's not much.
Sheesh.
One copy of the Crusader Kings game, including 7 beautifully sculpted plastic miniatures, 306 tokens, 289 cards. So that's what you get in the normal one. At least 4 additional plastic miniatures of 2 unique designs, the Navy ship and the Spymaster Counselor. So I think they're cards that you get, but you also get miniatures as them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put them on the board or something. Like, I'm not sure. Because I think that maybe they're tokens to begin with in the regular edition.
Right.
So I think they just make a few of them more miniatures. And you get an honorable mention in the rule book.
Well, there you go.
That's just going to be a rule book full of names that no one will ever read.
Chunky rule book.
I remember when the first Kickstarter, I probably didn't see the first one, but like when it started being a thing, like, oh, get your name in the credits or whatever, and everyone's really big on that. And now it's just like nobody cares.
Mm.
It was a great idea to start with, but like when games have like walls of text of names, that's boring.
Mm. Yes.
The ones that I do like, I think RimWorld, when it did it, how they did it was the random colonists you get are based on people who's backed their, like, their names.
Yeah, I think
that's
you mentioned that.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it, because, like, you actually, like, people will see that name, where, like, if it's in the credits, no one's looking at that ever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way to do it. Okay. Do we want to go over Hearts of Iron 4 or Europa Universalis? I got it right.
I don't know.
Sorry, just dying over here. So Hearts of Iron 4, I think that's an expansion, and Europa Universalis is an expansion. They're both war games. Mm-hmm. One set in, what was it? I can't remember what Europa Universalis is set in. But Hearts of Iron 4 is set in World War II, and I'm not sure what it adds. If you're interested in it, you should go check it out. The last World War game I played was Company of Heroes, which I really liked. I liked all the cover and everything, and, like, how detailed it was. And by the end of a battle, there was no buildings, so there was no cover. So it was just people firing tanks at each other, because there was just nothing. Which I imagine is how actual war is like.
Yeah, pretty much, I would say.
Like, have you seen before and after things of Jordan? That place?
No.
Yeah, it was like, there was like some beautiful places that are now not beautiful places, essentially.
Yeah.
And that was basically what Company of Heroes was like. For Europa Universalis Dharma, apparently they're adding lots of peacetime and trade actions to the classic strategy game. So you can buy your way into India by establishing charter companies and exploiting other people. Because that's all diplomacy is, exploiting people.
Okay.
Next on the list, Watchmaker. Did you have a look at this?
I did.
What
did
you think of it?
I think it looks cool.
So the gist is, you are some guy, and instead of other mechanics, he ages quickly, and he has to... I'm not sure if it's, like, there's a reason he ages quickly, or, like, something bad happened, but he has to keep reversing his age to progress through things.
And not die.
And not die. Become old and stuff. Get off my lawn. Yeah, he's just start yelling obscenities at the neighborhood kids as you get older in the game.
Yes.
That would be hilarious. I'd really like that. But it probably won't be like that. I think from what I was seeing in it, he does say some, like, more old person things when he's older, and his voice changes, which I like.
I didn't see that, but okay.
Well, he had a line and it sounded older than when he was younger. Do you reckon that would be the same voice actor, or would it be...
It could be either.
A voice enhancer-y thing. How do you get... if it was the same voice actor, he'd have to record lines differently, because you can't, like, the voice change is not going to just make you sound old.
No. Yeah. He'd have to change the way that he approached it.
Do you want to pick up the next topic?
I don't know what it is.
Ancestor's Legacy.
No idea what it is.
You didn't read about it?
I sort of looked at it. I don't know what it is.
So it's a Viking RTS. Looked all right.
God, what is with all the RTSs?
I know. That's what is the big thing this week, apparently. This game only came out this week. Oh, no, it comes out tomorrow, maybe? The launch trailer came out this week. But it looked good. As far, like, I don't get to see enough Viking games, I think, because that's pretty cool. I really liked playing as the Viking in Chivalry. What was the new one? Chivalry Medieval Warfare. Then they had the expansion that had the other stuff. Can't remember. I think it was Deadliest Warrior. That's right. They did that thing with the TV show. Have you played Lord of the Rings?
Not the new one.
The MMO that's been out for like 11 years.
No.
The developer or the lead engineer said they're bringing out an update. when I heard that, when I read that, I was like, they're still updating it. I thought they just kept the servers around and people were like playing it because it's Lord of the Rings.
Mm.
But no, apparently people are still working on it.
What are they updating?
They're doing some class revamping, adding a new area, which I imagine is a pretty big deal, which is why I saw it on the front page of Reddit. But yeah, so I think that's pretty cool. It actually kind of makes me want to play it because I always wanted to play it, but it just kind of got older and older. And I was just like, it's probably going to be shut down tomorrow anyway.
And they didn't shut it down.
And I was wrong. I think it's a great world for an MMO. I just never got into it, unfortunately. And I think the bigger problem is none of my friends got into it, which is you need an MMO to have all your friends into it.
Mm.
Which I think is a big problem with MMOs now, because like there's so many games to play that your friends are probably playing another one while you're playing this one and so on.
Yeah.
And there's so many good IPs to do MMOs for, like Final Fantasy, Lord of the Rings, WoW is still a thing.
Mm.
What's another MMO? Albion Online just came out, actually, on Steam. I did want to have a look at that.
Okay.
Hopefully it's good. It just reminds me of Fable because of Albion. I always thought that was a nice name.
Really?
Albion?
Yeah.
Yeah, what, you don't think it's a nice name?
I think it... No? I guess not.
Why not?
I don't know. This doesn't, it sounds a bit...
It sounds so fantasy-like.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for coughing again. What do we have? We have, well, the Steam Link app launched on Android and iOS version, still pending Apple review. That might have changed now. So we've got a Steam Link. What do you think about it, Caitlin?
We have not used it very much.
Yeah, but is that because we're not the type of people to stream games, or is it not good?
I don't know.
Well, you got to have some opinion on it.
Like I said, we haven't used it very much, so I don't know whether it is good or not. It seemed okay from the short period of time that I used it.
Well, what we used it for mostly was we would stream our computer screens so we could watch stuff in the bedroom, not play games. We very rarely played games. And it would stuff up a lot while streaming your desktop. I don't think I had a problem streaming a game, actually.
Yeah, because the game was actually through Steam.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of hacky to get it on the desktop anyway, because you had to like do some weird alt tab stuff while it was streaming, and wasn't great. So, but I imagine they're using that same software, so you can do it to your phone. I think that's good. I can't imagine any games that are PC related or PC form factor made would be great on the phone. Actually, a lot of visual novels and stuff would be good.
That's about it.
But any game that I can think of that I would like to play, I wouldn't be playing on a phone.
Mm.
Maybe a very, very simple RTS. And I mean very simple. Speaking of visual novels, adult game publisher Nutaku will fund the replacement of violence in popular games with nudity in their Boobs for Bullets campaign. What are your thoughts on that?
How?
So essentially, I imagine it would be... I have not read that much into it because meh. Essentially, if you're developing a game, they'll... Because they're a publisher, so they'll buy some stake in your game and fund it if you take out the guns and put boobs in instead.
But how do you put in boobs instead of guns? Like, those two are not interchangeable things.
I imagine, as in, like, it would be very early on in the campaign, like, in the development maybe. So maybe they change some integral parts of the game. Or maybe you shoot dildos out of guns instead of...
That's not what the campaign says.
I don't know. They're doing a campaign. That's all I know. It's... I don't know. What do you think of the cause, though?
It's interesting.
Yeah, so then... Do you know what will happen? That'll happen. Then American like state senators will be like, we blame all the rapes on video games.
Yeah.
Bring back the video games with guns or something. I don't know. They'll use video games to blame everything.
Mm.
God damn it. More nudity news, I guess. Honeypop team received email from Valve stating that Honeypop violates the rules and guidelines for pornographic content on Steam. From what I could see of these games, because I haven't played, like, this is one of those visual novel games with some boobs, mm-hmm. essentially. A lot of them don't, like, yeah, they've got nude people in it, but that's not the point of the story or anything. They're not sex stories. They're just, they are actual stories with some risque imagery. The, who was the group? It's essentially like a Christian group that's trying to get like nude games, like nudity in games taken out because they want to target, they have said that they want to target games like Mass Effect and The Witcher, which I don't think is bad at all.
Why?
Oh, because
Mass Effect doesn't have nudity.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't it?
No.
I thought, oh, whatever.
It has sex scenes, like,
oh.
But it's not like they literally just like fall onto the bed fully clothed.
Yeah, there's a bit. It's not The Witcher. But even in The Witcher, like, those sex scenes, they're not like there because they wanted to sell sex. They're there because, like, they want to show that those parts of the characters. And I don't mean parts as in the penises and the boobs. But, like, they want to show those intimate connections.
Yeah.
And I think they did it really well and tastefully. Whereas, like, they seem to think, oh, it's going to turn all the kids into perverts.
It might do.
That being said, there's probably, like, some 13-year-old, like, oh, yeah, naked Geralt.
Fair enough.
Those scars just do it for me.
I don't know why you went with Geralt, but sure.
Hey, don't judge. E3 conference dates. So I think, I don't know what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in Bethesda. That'll just be, oh yeah, Skyrim. You guys still playing it? We're bringing it out on toasters.
You've already said this.
I know. But every time I see it, that's what I imagine it's going to be.
Okay.
They do have, I think they're doing Rage 2, so they'll have some stuff on that. They'll have Skyrim and the other game they're bringing out. And Skyrim will be released on, you know, door handles, like those electric two-way door handles with like the conference things.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can play Skyrim where you're waiting for someone to answer the door.
Right.
That's going to be the new thing.
Okay.
Calling it now. Other people doing conferences that I've seen, EA, Microsoft, Devolver Digital, their announcement was pretty good, pretty funny. I think they announced it on Twitter, you know, June 10th, whatever.
Mm.
It said, Devolver Digital Conference, sorry in advance, because they usually, like, offend people.
Sorry in advance. Okay, yeah, that's funny.
So I was just like, good on you guys. That's how you market. Oh, and the top comment on, or like the top tweet or whatever, someone said, oh, I can't remember, fuck, what did they say? Essentially, it was just like, oh, I hope it's not as disappointing as last year. And they said, it won't be with... No, it could always be better with like a better attitude or something.
Mm.
I've ruined this story, but essentially that they just know how to social media. Like they just, they're not afraid. They don't, their social media manager isn't like going around being like, oh, but you know, this and this. They're just like, suck it up.
Yeah. That's which cool.
is what you don't get from bigger companies.
Probably. It's refreshing.
Oh, it is. Square Enix. Ubisoft, Assassin's Creed, probably. Actually, that's a thing. What do we think is going to come out from each of these people?
I don't know because I'm not actually...
Nah, just take some wild guesses.
I'm not aware of what they already make.
Well, EA, they'll have some Anthem stuff, I think. Microsoft will have... Actually, I'm not sure on Microsoft. Maybe some Forza stuff, a New Horizon or something like that. That's all I've got for Microsoft. then Bethesda, we've already said, and everyone knows it'll be Skyrim and something else. I have no idea what Devolver Digital do, to be honest. I just liked their announcement for it. Square Enix will definitely be Kingdom Hearts, maybe something else Final Fantasy related, or maybe one of their other 600 games they publish. Because they'll have like their publisher section and their developer kind of section there, because they do both. Same with Ubisoft, because Ubisoft publish a lot of games and develop a lot. So from their development, they'll have Assassin's Creed. From their publishing side, no idea. The Division, maybe? They make The Division, don't they?
I don't know.
God damn it, Callum. Sony, what will they have? So they had God of War this year that came out. So will they be going on about something about that, or will they announce their next big thing that'll come out next year?
I don't know if going off of God of War is a good idea.
They've definitely sold the shit out of it.
It's already been out for a while, so it would be better to announce something else that's coming.
Yeah, that's true, but it also wouldn't be bad if they had something planned for, like, some DLC, something planned for God of War based on, like, how well it was going. They've announced that. Not that they will, it's too soon, but, like, let's say they did. It would be pretty big and people would lose their shit. Because why wouldn't they?
I don't know.
Nintendo. So Super Smash Brothers, obviously. I think they've already confirmed they're going to have it playable there, which makes me a bit sad and jealous, but whatever. I've no idea what else they'll have. They'll have some Nintendo exclusives. Project Octopath, which is a Square Enix game, I believe, but through Nintendo, so I'm not sure who would show that off, or both of them will. It looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anyone else that's doing E3 stuff. We did have that map, but I don't know who of them are doing conferences beforehand.
Yeah.
Ah, well. So, other industry news. Call of Duty Black Ops 4 will be on Battle.net and not Steam. So, this is part of Activision Blizzard's thing to take all their games off Steam eventually, I think. So, all their really big new games will probably go on Battle.net, especially ones with big multiplayer focuses, because I think Black Ops 4 has no single player.
Oh, okay.
Because I think they're really... Battle.net actually was pretty good. I think it's a much more stable service than Steam. The only annoying thing is when other companies make this stuff, I'm not on it all the time, so I don't see if my friends are playing. Whereas with Steam, as much as I hate Steam, if I'm playing a game and I'm like, oh, I want to invite this person, they usually have their Steam online and will see the notification and they'll tell me like almost straight away, can't play right now, or yeah, I'll come on. Whereas you don't get that with other platforms or anything.
Well,
like if someone was playing a game on Origin right now and they wanted to invite me, I won't see that for a month.
Well, that just depends. That's you. Some people might have everything open and logged in.
Some people might, but I'm talking about majority of people.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wouldn't. Well, based on the numbers.
It could be majority of people. If you've got it automatically set to open when you turn your computer on and it's automatically logged in.
Yeah, I do get that, but I'm just saying like the numbers of the people that use Steam is much higher than every other platform. Because with every other platform...
Yeah, but that's not what you're saying. You were saying... you're not logged into those services to see when your friend is playing.
Yeah, I do get that, but I think a lot of other people aren't as well.
Like, well, I don't know. You wouldn't. I've never had that conversation with anybody.
See, I deal with this stuff every day.
How?
Because I talk to people about games every day. It's what I talk about.
But you don't talk about, oh, are you logged into your Origin account right now?
No, I talk about, like, do you have an Origin account? They're like, hell no, I hate EA. Stuff like that. Which, that's another thing. A lot of people hate EA, so they're probably not even going to, like, have their Origin
account. Okay, that's their Origin account. We're talking Battle.net.
I did say Origin and Battle.net. Like, they're all different, and people hate them for different reasons, and they're just not as ingrained as Steam. Like, that's what I'm saying. I think Battle.net is becoming bigger, though, because of games like Overwatch. World of Warcraft now uses it. Diablo 3, was it 3 or 4? I can't remember. It was 3. And what's another multiplayer game? They had Destiny on it, but that didn't go well. I think they've already, like, unpledged, because they said they were going to keep content coming out for, like, 10 years. And they're like, so at least one or two DLCs, because they completely shot themselves in the foot by making a terrible game. On that note, anyone who does like the idea of Destiny, go play Warframe. It's the same, but, you know, they care about the product. Enough of that. Essentially, neither of us are going to be playing Call of Duty, but for those who are interested, it will not be on Steam. Which, you know, doesn't bother me. It means I don't have to see people playing it. Have you seen that meme on the internet of there's a group on Steam, because, you know, you could join groups, and it's boycott, like, Call of Duty 3 because it didn't have, like, some map or some gun or something, and all the people on it are, like, playing the game because they obviously caved and bought it.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And Shenmue 3 delayed to 2019, so it was announced for this year. They've delayed it already. I don't know who's making it, but that might see more of that at E3. Stalker 2 announced for 2021. That's so far away. I haven't played the first one in a long time. Wow, why even commit to that at, like, in 2018?
Yeah, seems a bit stupid.
Because, like, anything could happen between now and then. Like, it gets to, like, 2020, and they're like, oh, we stopped working on that, like last year. We forgot we even announced it.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Like, people would be pissed.
Feels like they wouldn't even be close to being able to announce anything for it if it's that far away. Like, what's the point? Do you even have anything at the moment?
Let's look at the website. I think I looked at it, and it was, like, one image. Stalker2.com. That being said, first one was really good. Wow. Yep, so it is a background with the year 2021 on it and Stalker 2. And you can email them info@stalker2.com.
Okay, cool.
I mean, if I emailed them right now, would they give me any... like, I was like, what's in the game? They're like, nah. No.
There is no game.
We
don't even know that yet.
Yeah. The marketing people probably don't. Like, the person answering the email will be like, I don't know. I should go find out.
Wait and see.
Yeah, wait and see. So, The Division 2 confirmed. I'm not sure if it's this year. Within the next year. So, that could be 2018 or 2019. Ubisoft has confirmed the sequel to the online multiplayer shooter. It was announced in March, and they've given a release window. It was part of a financial report, which I'm not sure if it was leaked or something. Have you ever seen a game company financial report? It is the most boring thing you will ever watch.
I'm pretty sure any financial report would be the same.
That's a great point. I don't look at financial reports often. The only reason I care about them for games sometimes is they will accidentally give something away. Some, like, because they'll be like, oh, expected earnings from game X, and then, like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
That, I meant the other game. I meant... yeah.
Never mind.
Damn it.
You didn't see anything.
Yeah, he starts doing a magic trick halfway through his presentation, like, ooh, look over here. You saw nothing. So I think we're at a good point to end that. God, lots of Paradox stuff. Oh, one thing that I do think is going to be cool, because I play the game a lot, Stellaris is getting the Distant Stars update. So there'll be a lot more story stuff to do with the anomalies, and they're redoing all the anomalies they're redoing the menu around it. So if you kind of want more of a story out of your civilization, that can be a thing. So I think that'll be good for some of our friends who don't like it when we play on a higher speed, but everyone else gets bored if we don't. Yep, you know who I'm talking about.
I do.
Because he has to read every little thing, and we're like, come on. We want to actually get something done in the next 4 hours.
Yeah.
Like, love the game.
But that's just going to make him want to read more.
Yeah, it's
not going to help.
It's a catch 22. Well, that's how I think about it. If you do want to in-depthly read it all, single player is probably for you. If you're playing with a bunch of other people, like, yes, it's still important, but, like, you can skim read it, and or you could just look at the bonuses that it gives you. Like, I don't know. Maybe he's a slow reader.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of a lot of things.
Because I do read a lot of it, and I do not have trouble keeping up. I just don't know.
I think he likes to ponder the implications a lot of things.
Well, that's the thing. If it was more of an RPG game, like, and it was kill this character or kill that character, I would ponder. But it's essentially like, do you want minerals or energy for, like, the choice, right?
Yeah, and so he has to spend 5 minutes talking about whether or not minerals or energy is going to be more beneficial. And then plan out his entire game around that choice.
Yeah, I just know what I need at the time. And I'm like, all right, I need these right now. Deal with the implications later.
Yeah, well.
Then I bomb my friends. Oh, well. Thank you, everyone, for catching us this week. This is Questcast. You can check out previous episodes by going out to questcast.com. Check out our Let's Play. Check out our reviews. Caitlin, have you played anything that I am not aware of this week?
No.
Well, that's sad. You should play more games.
I only played Dota.
Ah, how are you liking the Battle Pass, actually? That's a thing that's come out in the last 2 weeks I don't think we've talked about.
I like the cavern. I love hate the cavern.
I love hate the cavern. Yeah, that's an accurate statement. I think that's how everybody feels. I love it when I'm getting the heroes that I like to play. I hate it otherwise.
I'm sick of getting cave-ins.
Oh, yeah. You've had the worst luck. Because, like, actually, your first run was, like, really good. Much better than mine.
My first run was straight through to Legion.
For people who don't know, Dota has 110 heroes. They released a battle pass, which is to do with the international, where all sales from it go towards the international prize pool. And the cavern has all the heroes laid out in kind of like, it's hard to...
Like a spiderwebby kind of...
Yeah, it's
of.
Like a spiderwebby cavern thing. And there's three skins for different heroes out the edges, and you start from the center. You win with a hero, you get to the next point, and then you unlock some other heroes that you can play. And you kind of go through...
You can build your own path, kind of
thing. Yeah, build your own path to get to the skin. And Caitlin has gotten lots of...
cave-ins and locked doors that block your path. So you have to start another path, basically.
Whereas I took a really abstract path, though, because I went up one, then went around the outside to my next one, and that worked pretty well.
Whereas my first one was just, like, straight...
From center to out.
Yeah, didn't get any cave-ins or anything. And then my next one, I got to like a halfway point and then had to start back and like do a different path.
But you did get there in the end.
But then I got there. And now this last one is like...
Killing you slowly?
Killing me. It's just getting more and more complicated. Like with each... Like the first one was so simple and straightforward. And it's just gotten worse and worse. But anyway, I'm running out of caverns anyway, so I'm going to have to get there eventually.
That's true. Or find some keys to get you through some other parts. Something like that. The other things they have is they're basically loot boxes, but they're not too bad because you can at least get them from just earning levels in the battle pass. And you're essentially guaranteed some because the battle pass costs $10 for level one or what was it? $30 for 75,
I think.
Yeah, something like
up
that.
Up to level 75.
If like, I know one of our friends, he's happy to pay the $10 because you do get a lot in it. They brought out two new game modes. One was mutation, where how does mutation work? Yeah, there's like random effects.
Things effects.
I don't know if you played it with us. I can't remember. There's a few that you haven't, but the one where a random spell happens every minute.
Yeah, how did that work?
It was horrible.
I haven't played it.
It was like the thing about it was horrible for everyone, not just us. Like the other team, us, you would get like the best part, a team fight where everybody gets stunned for a second.
Yeah.
Like there's just this like everything's happening and there's
yep. A moment of nothing.
A moment of nothing. The worst part was though, if like it would be a moment of nothing, but like you'd be on like some fire or something. Mm. So while nothing's happening, you're like dying. You're
still dying. Actually, a good one of that would be like a team fight and then everybody gets hexed.
Ah, so everyone's just hitting.
Chickens everywhere.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you said hex. I was thinking silence. So all everyone can do is just hit each other. There's no spells. So no. They're still running up to each other and hitting each other.
No, I'm thinking hex. Chickens. Chickens everywhere.
My chickens. All right, that's enough for Dota. What have I been playing? So I've been finishing Ni No Kuni. I've been getting, just got Pillars of Eternity. Yeah, Pillars of Eternity 2. Going to make some characters in that. So you'll take 3 hours and I'll take one.
Mm.
You should do a series on
character creation.
Best character creation. Like you should compare them. Because I think that is your favorite part of some games.
Oh, I don't know about favorite. It's definitely the most
difficult part for you.
Stressful.
I need to commit to this. Yeah, Ni No Kuni 2, that we'll be playing State of Decay tomorrow or Wednesday. And you will see a Let's Play of that if you're keen on that. We've just almost finished Resident Evil 7, which is...
We think.
Mm-hmm.
We think.
Oh, I could imagine it's pretty close. Even if there's like a twist at the end, like it'll be like a twist and then one more thing kind of. It won't be like a twist next whole section of there's the game.
There's another whole house.
That it would kill me. I think it's really good though. It's definitely got some cool story elements. I hope there's a tie-in to the rest though. That is something I am waiting for. I think it's going to... I don't want to give away any spoilers, but like where we are now, I think we'll have that tie-in because it would make sense to.
Okay. We shall see.
Well, the house, you know, the house was just some random house that was the effect of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this kind of has a connection to the outside world.
Yep.
All right. Thank you for watching. Again, we are Questcast. You are listening to Questcast. And check us out on our website or our YouTube and enjoy your week. We'll catch you next time.